Hey guys, I just wanted to reach out to you and let you know that SureWinder is still selling amazing products. Some of you guys have been dragging your feet for whatever reason. If your shoulder hurts, do not waste time. Pull the trigger. I just bought four or five of them, and we had two guys out. You know how much it cost me to pay for two guys being out with bad shoulders? We just pulled the trigger and we said, listen, everybody's going to have one on a truck. It's mandatory. You got to use it. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till your guys go down. It's going to cost you more. Buy a SureWinder. All right, guys, we're going to wing it today, but I've got something on my heart that I want to share. Doing a ton of reading, a ton of studying on leadership, like a massive amount. And one thing that I feel needs to be addressed is two primary things. Number one, I had revelation today on startups and the transition out of a startup phase. What does that mean? So startup historically is like your first, I don't know, 2-3 years usually. And if you're watching on YouTube, sorry for the quality here. My overhead light's crap. I'm gonna get some new lighting, but I'm having to record all these at the new house and I'm not set up for a studio yet, so bear with me. But startups 2-3 years, and there's a period of time in there where a lot of times we got to be in the field and we're kind of working alongside our team in the field. And then something happens when we transition out of that into more of a leader of the business instead of just being an employee of our own company, right? And what I mean by that is there's a lot of things that happen, but one thing specifically happens because I've witnessed it, not only in my own business and other people's businesses, as well as previous companies that I've worked for. Your team, your employees that you hired in the very beginning, when you start to transition out of the field into the office, a lot of times do not handle that well. They don't like the transition of you being in the office running the business, delegating things to them now. That change appears to be very difficult for a lot of people. So I say this with the idea that there could be a small percentage of people that are not like this. But what I've seen is it's almost like a loss of respect. Who does he think he is? And maybe it's because I haven't handled it well, or the people that I've met haven't handled it well. But it's really weird how some of the early employees really struggle with that transition when the business owner has to make that leap from being in the field to being in the office. And if I had to do it over again, I would probably set it up from the very beginning with the idea that I would communicate to everybody, the plan is the next stage of the company is me getting out of the field. And I don't think I communicated that very well. And so when I made the decision to do that, kind of felt like it wasn't as much about us anymore as it was, they kind of had this feeling like, oh, the boss man is sitting in the office again today, right? And let me just be clear, like, I love my people, and I love the people that helped me make what my businesses are today.
But let's be very, very clear. The business is mine. The company's mine. And the business is yours. And it's whatever we want it to be, right? I mean, this is the journey that I've been on for the past year, is trying to figure out exactly what I wanted out of my company. What do I want? What does Ryan want with Aaron Overhead Doors? Like, what is the goal in such and such media? What is the goal for it? What purpose does it serve? What does it do for me? And quite frankly, last year it didn't do much for me. I didn't make a lot of money from it. It was a huge stress for me. And there's some years that are great and some years that are not so great. And last year we just so happened to probably take on too much at this simultaneously while I was building a house. And I underestimated how much of my time would be taken away from the business while building a house. But I mean, when I compare my businesses, my media agency and my door company, my media agency's like, we would struggle not making a profit. Like, we're great. It pays me well. And then my door company, it's, small margins. When I mean small margins, I mean, I think media agencies like make 20-30% net profit, like the ones that are well built. And we've been able to accomplish that some quarters, quite often. Where we miss it is in the door industry, like when I'm talking to door companies, at the end of the day, like majority of the ones I'm talking to are between 5 and 10%. And if you're getting into the multi-million dollar range, man, that's a lot. That's a lot of money coming in and out with very little hanging around. And so it doesn't feel so good. So you got to be really on top of your numbers and cash flow and make sure that you're being smart and wise with your money. Like one big decision that's a bust in marketing or whatever could cost you a full quarter's of profit for a lot of people. But let me get back on topic. Now, I think it's important that we understand that there's transitions, not just from startup to established. I think when I got to a little bit established and I was in the office, I had worked my fanny off so much that I just wanted to exhale for a minute. Like, let me pull into the pit stop for a second, get some fuel and some new tires and brakes, and let me take a deep breath, get some water, and then we can go. Because I felt like I didn't have a chance to do that the first 2 years. So there's a mentality out there with employees that I think they love the fact of you working beside them, but you're very limited. If you're still in the field and you're 3, 4, 5, 6 years in, you're probably doing something wrong if your goal is to grow your company. If your goal is to be a 1, 2, 3 man show forever, then it's perfectly fine. Like, there's no problem with that. I think that we've got to make tough decisions. And I think about the people I had with me from the very beginning, like, with the first year or two. Some of them had the good mentality, some of them had the bad mentality. But I think there's probably only one that could still be with me today. And at every phase of your business, you have to ask yourself, hey, the business is changing. We're adding this, we're doing this, we're changing that. How are my people going to respond? Did they perform at a really high level over the last year while we were at the stage we're at? And can they perform at a really high level at the new stage that we're going? A lot of times I make decisions on people based on body language. It's very interesting that you can do kickoff meetings. I've been doing these for a long time, and I can almost tell you who's not going to make it for the year based on body language. When everybody in the room's pumped up and excited, and there's usually one, maybe two people whose body language is just negative, like they want to be anywhere else but there. I think it's sometimes people have a hard time buying in. And maybe they were bought in at one time, and maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's our fault. I think about leadership requires a massive amount of focus and determination. Let's put building the business and running the business aside. Just leadership, because it's different. Leadership's different than running and growing your business. How many of your people right now, if you were to take your company a different direction, would be on board with you? Would be like, I'll do whatever you ask of me. I've got some of those. Like, we could literally rename the company, change the focus, and they'll run through a wall. They don't care. Like, whatever I ask of them. Like, it's literally, yes, sir, whatever you need. I've got those. And you can go to battle with those. And then I got the people that are going to question things first and then buy in. And then I got the people who are going to question things and never buy in. And you do too, most likely. But if you don't have any of the people that are like, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you ask, you might want to relook at things. I think our standards are too low. I did a podcast probably a couple months ago where I mentioned this. I think we settle. And then, because we have to settle with the people that we hire, we lower our expectations because we can't get where we're going with the people that we've chosen to bring on. For a true entrepreneur that is a visionary, this is very disheartening and frustrating. We begin to feel trapped. It's not okay. But then the question becomes, well, Ryan, I have a hard time finding people. And if I let this guy go, he's a high performer. I can't do without the money. Those are lies. Those are all lies that we tell ourselves because we're facing a complicated season. We've gotten comfortable with ourselves. We've gotten comfortable with our business. We don't like making tough decisions that we used to make all the time. And we have to make them. Like, you didn't get where you're at not taking risk. And I think as we get through our business, we start to take less risk and we play it safe. And then some of us, like me, maybe we take too many risk, or create too much change. Now, it's funny because this just made me think of The Power of Wow, the book, The Power of Wow. If you haven't read that, I would strongly, strongly suggest you read that as an entrepreneur. think it's it opens up neural pathways in my brain and I start going freaking nuts. This book single-handedly has changed my life and the way I view it. It's changed the way I communicate and connect with people. I want to say that a great leader inspires people with the way he lives his life. Leadership is influence. The power of wow created a thought process in my brain that made me realize that part of what I love to do is to give. I love the idea of giving, whether it's money, time, information like this podcast. Like I just love to give. It means a lot to me. It means more than money. But don't get me wrong. I mean, I appreciate money, but the power of wow taught me that there's more than one way to give outside of money. And I'm starting to see the reflection of that in my people. And people are volunteering for things and asking me if we can help people. The heart of my business is changing because my heart is changing. And I know I'm bouncing around a lot, but there's like, this is a little bit about where my brain's going. And I'm reading so many different books that these things are triggering different things. But, when we communicate with our team, I'm beyond yelling. I'm kind of past the point of like getting mad. I get disappointed a lot. I get frustrated. But now that I accept responsibility for everything, I don't really get mad at other people. I get mad at situations sometimes. But I don't yell at people. I don't think it does any good. I don't think there's like anything positive that comes from it. So when we talk about communication and building a relationship with your people, I'm not sure you can do that fully if you are aggressive with your communication. People aren't going to follow you because you're the owner and you create hard, strict rules. Now, I do think there's a balance because there has to be accountability. What I've learned is the lack of rules is just as bad, if not worse, than strict rules. And so now I think we have enough rules, but not too many, and we're holding people accountable.
Hey guys, I found something that changed my business and I want to share it with you. We've created packages that have included some of the best products in our industry to offer our service customers. The heart of that package is Stealth Hardware Kit. Stealth Hardware is the quietest hinges on the market. I challenge you to buy at least one of these, test it for yourself. Put it on your truck and design a quiet performance package for your customers willing to pay for a better, smoother running door. Buy your Stealth Hardware Kit at ServiceSpring. Do a search for quiet hinge and then buy that. You can buy a double or single door, 7 or 8 foot tall, and promise you, it'll change your service forever.
Somer USA and Somer Group want to thank you for an incredible year and the trust you put in them and their products. As you know, Somer places high value on relationships, education, customer service, innovation, and professionalism. And they are grateful to you for your part in the fostering and dissemination of these values. If there is any way Somer can support you in your journey, whether through their products, the values they hold to, or the knowledge Somer has gained through interaction with door dealers across the world, please reach out to the team at your convenience. They are here to serve you. Again, thank you from the entire Somer team. Check them out at SomerUSA.com. Tell them Ryan sent you.
I think you got to go through hard times in order for you to develop as a leader. You know, I think about it like, you know, when I was a kid, I put my hand on a stove or a grill or whatever and burnt it real bad. You know, if I'd not been scarred from that and learned my lesson at an early age, I might have done it at a later age. I think that we all have to understand as leaders that we're developing, and the advantage of the development is how quickly you can learn and develop and apply. And I think self-awareness is a really important part of this journey. Like genuinely be able to look at yourself and say, I'm really not good at this. I'm really good at this. And then adjusting and learning and hiring around your weaknesses. I think that's it. I think sometimes we complicate leadership. Like, I just think that our job's to go in every day and influence our people in a positive manner. And I'll add to that. Also think, and we have to develop as a leader more every day. I think I mentioned on here before that I kind of stopped developing as a leader, and I lived on the fact that I had so much leadership training growing up. It's one of my biggest mistakes I've ever made in my life. And I'm glad I made it because I'm 44 and I got a long way to go. And I'm just glad I learned that lesson. I want to develop myself and my people. And I want people who celebrate when something good in my life happens. And I want to celebrate when something good in their life happens. I'm tired of hiring people with a poverty mindset. Like, for example, you know, I've had Todd Price on here before. You know, Todd's buying a new car, like, I feel like every month. Not like a cheap car. Like, he just bought a Ferrari. And he had to sell two cars because he didn't have enough room in the driveway and garage for all the new cars. And he literally bought, like, built a huge detached garage just for his cars. And I think about sometimes how some of my employees would view that if I were to buy a Ferrari right now. Like, I'm sure there's people that would probably say, oh, why is he buying that Ferrari? Mine would be a Porsche, by the way. Why is he buying that Porsche? He doesn't need that Porsche. You know what? I don't need a Porsche. Much like you don't need shoes. You don't need air conditioning. It's nice to have. But if you bought a house, you didn't need to buy a house. You could have rented. You could have lived with your parents. But I'm gonna celebrate it. You know, I love watching Todd grow his business and, you know, live out his dream. I mean, think about it like this. I had a guy tell me this one time. I asked him, I said, bro, why are you buying, not Todd, this was a different guy. Why are you buying so many cars, like supercars and stuff? He said, you know, I really like them, but I get over them really quickly. He said, you know who doesn't get over them really quickly and absolutely loves them? And it's like they freak out. My kids. He's like, my kids love when I can take them to school in the Lamborghini. He said, the feeling that they get and their friends. And it's not like I'm showing off or nothing like that, but think about that. Like, life's really about moments and the impact that you're having on your kids by exposing them to that at an early age and some of the challenges that they're going to have that we kind of have, like insecurities, like self-doubt, imposter syndrome, poverty mindset. I mean, they're going to be facing those at an early age and getting through them at an early age to the point where they may not deal with that when they're in their 20s or 30s, like I did. You're talking about changing a generation. He literally bought the car, that particular car that we were talking about, because he wanted to. It was nice. He always wanted a Lamborghini. But he said he knew that he would buy it, and a month later, he'd be like, eh, it's cool, but it's not really like it's a possession, it's material. But his kids love it. Absolutely love it. I like that. You know, built our dream home here. We have a pool. We got a basketball goal. I can hear my kid out there playing. And, you know, my wife, I promised her in 2010, if she bought this mice infested short sale of a house that we bought, that I would build her dream home in 5 years. 2015 came and I quit my career making a really good living to start a garage door company. And I told her, give me a few more years. I totally thought that I would be making way more money than I am now in 2 to 3 years from my door company. That didn't happen. So I asked her for more time. But I promised her in 2010 I would build her a dream home. I'd build her, or I'd buy her dream home with a pool, like all the things she wants. So when we started on this house, we kind of went a little bit crazy because we're going to be here for a long time and we wanted to make it our own and do it one time, be done with it. And I know I'm getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I think this matters because in the blue collar world, you have a tendency to not want to live on anything above our means. Like, not above our means, but you know, you got the basics, food, house, apartment, trailer, whatever you live in. You got a truck. And it's like, we're satisfied. We've accomplished, you know, we live a good life and we're happy there. Well, what if I'm not happy? Right? Are my employees going to judge me? Are you as an employer going to look at your employee and be like, man, am I overpaying them if they buy something nice? I don't think there's anything wrong with treating yourself. You know, door guys work their freaking butts off. I know here in Atlanta, it is rough. You sit in traffic all day, that's enough. Like, just doing that. And then on top of that, you got, you know, garages that are 120 degrees. So how do you knock down those barriers of, oh, boss got a new truck? You know, I heard a story once from an employee of a competitor that's local here. The company had like a good year or whatever. And the boss walks in and says, well, let me just give you the framework here. He told me that he had parked his boat and his like four-wheelers and stuff at the shop. And it was like a brand new boat. I guess he had just bought it not long ago. So he had all his toys there. And he walks in and he's like, you know, hey, although we had a great year, we don't really have enough money to give any raises. And immediately, like he said, he just kind of turned around, looked at the boat. It was like, there's my raise. I hope I get to use it. But that's like the mentality, right? But I think as some leaders, we kind of set ourselves up for that a little bit, you know? Probably shouldn't have everybody standing around your $100,000 boat when you tell everybody you can't give raises. But at the same time, like, I get it too. So perception is reality to a degree. But I think as leaders, we got to be smart about how we do things, how we present things. As employees, I think we need to be a little bit more understanding to the grind and the hustle and the struggle. And if you want to be a really good employee and you start at a startup, I think you need to have a big mindset of, hey, this company can outgrow me, or I can ride this wave and do something really special with it and grow as an individual. And that's exciting. Like, I'm really excited about that type of mentality and the people who buy into that long-term vision and are flexible enough to work with change. I think with the smaller companies, guys get comfortable and it's kind of like, you know, about them. And then as it grows, it becomes less about them because now there's three or four people in their position, excuse me, instead of just one. But the idea is like just having one person in a position when you go on vacation for a week, we have to pay out that week plus lose a week of revenue. So it's a double hit, right? So sorry to bounce around on you guys so much today, but I got a lot on my mind about leadership and Jen's gone. So she's not holding me accountable to staying on task. She went to Italy, so we'll ask her what that's like. GDU Summit, we got five more seats. We got to sell five more tickets, so if you're interested, hit me up. We've got some new trainings for sales up on the website. So if you're interested in doing the sales training, go to garagedooru.com and register there. I want to give a shout out. Thank you to all of our sponsors. You guys are freaking awesome. Appreciate everything you do. And that's it. Sorry for the rant today. Hopefully it was thought-provoking and gave you some things to think about, process. And leadership's a simple but complicated thing. And sometimes we make it too difficult, and sometimes we just forget about it. So don't forget about it. Develop yourself. Get better. And if you're looking for ways to do that, read books. Join GDU. GDU will do it. I promise you will be a better leader. Reading leadership books will make it happen. John Maxwell, start there. Developing the leader within you 2.0 is absolutely phenomenal. So be blessed. Have a good day.